restoring, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for restoration. I bless you, man.
I am free because you said I am free. I am free no matter how I feel, no matter what I see. Your word is my authority in every season of life. So as for me and my house, we're gonna be free.
Yes, we are.
I am free because you said I am free.
This is the family's father. This is my grandchildren.
I am free no matter how I feel, no matter what I see. Your word is my authority in every season of life. So as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. I am free because you said I am. Me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna
catch it, Father. Direct your plans.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Hallelujah. So if we believe it and we speak it, hallelujah, it shall come to pass.
Glory, Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus,
we love you.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Glory, Lord. Glory,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Glory,
Jesus. Glory, Lord. Oh, glory, 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 Jesus. Glory, Lord. My God.
As for me and my house. As for me and my house.
My God.
As for me and my house. We're going to be free. It's a declaration.
Oh, yeah.
We
Somebody's got a knot on their body. A little concerned about that. God's going to take that knot away. Take it completely away. Somebody's been feeling a little off physically lately. You haven't been able to shake it off and it's stuck with you. You're starting to get concerned about that. God's going to heal that. There's a difference between concern and fear. It's okay to be concerned. Just don't let it turn into fear. God's going to restore your health.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
all week worth it. I'm very grateful to all of you for your hard work. Because starting a new work is hard work. Especially when you started out in a place that hasn't been dedicated to the worship of God. It's plowing, plowing, plowing. When we're faithful in our plowing, sooner or later, God breaks through. Breaks in, breaks out. We turned a corner last week, and I can tell we're still in that corner.
Amen.
And I am thankful for that. It's going to get easier and easier to tap into that presence in here. For us as a group to tap into that environment together. That's going to pay off for a whole lot of other folks in the city that have no idea this exists. Because when they come in, we just do our thing, let God do His thing. Pretty soon, some lives will change with just one look, just one touch. I'm going to ask young Mr. Nathan to come.
Lord Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord God, thanking you for another day in a free country to gather in, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we ask that you move on the prayer request, each and every one that was mentioned, Lord God. Lord, heal the sick, and Lord God, let us be a light to those that don't know you, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, now I ask that you take this offering to the good of your kingdom, that it would bless the church, and anything else you might have us to do, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I thought today I wasn't gonna teach, I was going to preach. And I still am. I just feel like preaching today. We've done a lot of teaching and we've needed it. I heard old preacher say one time, you get what you teach. What he meant by that was, if there's something that's not happening, well, teach about it and it'll happen. And I've seen that in my own eyes. We taught about the altar and now there's not enough room up here usually when we have altar call. Talked about worship and now people, man, they get after it. So we've done a lot of teaching, but today I want to preach a little bit. I don't get to do that much at home. Now we're going to be in, we're going to use two sections of scripture today. So if you have a written Bible that you're looking in with paper and ink, find Isaiah 61 and put a bookmark there. Isaiah 61. Put a bookmark there. In 30 years, I've never met one single happy backslider. Not one.
First, bro.
We're not there first.
Isaiah 61, what?
We're not there first. That's for the people with a real Bible. So leave your bookmark on Isaiah 61. We're going to go to Luke 4, verse 14. Nathan didn't have skin this thick until he moved in with us for a little while.
Luke what?
Four.
41, right?
Nope. Luke 4 and 14.
Luke 14.
It's okay. If you found it, can you say I found it?
Found it.
That's pretty good. This verse says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now,
As a side note, what's cool is he's returning from his temptation in the wilderness, the temptation of the devil for 40 days. What's really cool about this is when the story starts, it said he was driven. At first, the Father said, I am well pleased in you, and then he drove him into the wilderness. So sometimes your wilderness experience is because God is pleased with you, not upset. That's for another service. And he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, where he was raised. As his custom was, he went to church. And he stood up for a read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me for a reason, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. See, the Spirit was on him for a reason, he's anointed for a reason. Anointed me to preach the gospel, then he gives an audience specific to the poor. Sent me to heal brokenhearted, preach deliverance to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, not society, the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them in the church were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Isaiah 61. Verse number 4. Or, sorry, 1. Let's start with 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is a prophecy of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tigings unto the meek. So I mean to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, not society, the day of vengeance of our God. See? Not just all the good stuff, but hey man, it's bad out there without him. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Oil of joy instead of their mourning, and to give them the garment of praise instead of that spirit of heaviness they're walking around with, so that they might be called trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, so that he might be glorified. And here's for your parents. I'll give you this last verse. Here's your cool promise. They shall build the old wastes, raise up the former desolations, repair the waste cities and the desolations many generations. Lord, I thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Father, for what you've already done in this service. And I thank you, Lord, for a wife who is completely open and honest and recognizes the strength in brothers and sisters today. And I thank you for brothers and sisters you can trust to fight for you and with you and right next to you. Thank you for that. It's a privilege. I ask you today, God, to preach, speak to us in this place. Everybody said, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen. I want to preach today when God steps out of the Bible. When God steps out of the Bible. The setting of the text today is a period in Jesus' life where he just recently returned from an extended period of fasting and praying. Even Jesus fasted. He rejected the temptation of his enemy to sell out. The Bible says when Jesus returned from this time of fasting and prayer, he began to teach in all the synagogues of Israel. He became famous and well known because of his teaching. He became a popular teacher because of his ability to explain the Word of God in simple to understand down-to-earth ways that everybody could get. And in our reading today, we find Jesus coming to Nazareth, where he'd been raised as a boy. And of course, being a famous teacher and coming back to his hometown, making his way to the local church, all the people who knew him before he became famous packed the house. So we find Jesus standing up to read, known only to the people in his hometown church, as a man who grew up there and was now a famous teacher. Now we need to understand the era of Jewish history that Jesus stood up in to teach that day. The Jewish nation was a nation in bondage to a Roman Empire who gave them freedom to worship and serve their God the way they wanted to. The ironic thing about all this is the reason the Jewish nation was in bondage to the Roman Empire in the first place was because they had ignored the laws of their God and worshiped and served him the way they wanted to. You see, God had given them very specific instructions on how to serve him in order to please him, giving them clear promises that anybody could understand, promises that very simply said, if you'll do things my way, I will bless you, I'll keep you, you'll never go without, you'll be my people, and I will be your God, and you will never worry about an enemy making slaves out of you. You will be free. But centuries before Jesus stood up in the synagogue on the day we read of, the Israeli nation had fallen away from serving God God's way, began to serve him whatever way they wanted to. They'd been free for so long and had been blessed for so long that they took their eyes off the one who blessed and focused on the things they were blessed with and began to ignore God in pursuit of their own wants and lusts. So when they turned their back on God, God turned his back on them, and they became servants to the Roman Empire. So the generation of people in the synagogue, the day Jesus stood up to read, came from a long line of people living their lives with their backs to God and his back to them. What do you mean by that? They go to church. See, there were a people accustomed to serving a God that gave no evidence of his power and his presence. Generation after generation, their parents and grandparents, for as long as anybody could remember, had always gone to church. They followed all the rules and regulations handed down by whatever church they belonged to, calling themselves God's chosen people, without ever having any tangible proof of the God they called Father. After generation upon generation never experiencing the presence of the God they served, they grew accustomed to it. They became a group of people who believed there was a God, but after so long without his presence, they felt they could not have fellowship with him down here. But if they followed enough rules given by the church, if they did what the preacher told them to do, if they came to all the services, then they would surely have fellowship with God in the next life. The God they served wasn't a God that could be touched, wasn't a God that could be seen, heard, or felt. He was a God that lived in the Bible. The only way they could prove their God was real was by pointing at the Bible. The only way they could be sure they were pleasing him was by pointing at the Bible. They served a God that lived in the Bible. The God they served had not always been confined to living in a book. There was a time when he moved freely among his people in many different representations, doing many different awesome things in their lives, but not so in the time of our text. In the day and age we read of today, if the children of God wanted to experience God as a pillar of fire, they could only read about it in the Bible and just believe that he'd done it because God wasn't working that way anymore. God lived in the Bible. They wanted to experience God as a cloud. They couldn't do it. All they could do was read about it and just believe that he'd done it because God wasn't working that way anymore. God lived in the Bible. They wanted to experience the healing power of God. They couldn't do it. All they could do was read about it and just believe that he'd done it because God wasn't healing anymore. God lived in the Bible. They served a God confined to the pages of the Bible, and they were a people serving a God they could not give to anybody else because they did not have them, him themselves. And I bring you to this Sunday morning in April of 2022 to a modern religious world, much like the ancient one we read of today, in that the majority of the children of God serve a God trapped between the covers of the Bible, and they can't give him to anybody else because they do not have him themselves. I'll preach in a minute. Most of the religious world today is held in bondage, serving a God with no presence or power, because somewhere down the line they decided to ignore the laws of God and worship and serve him the way they wanted to. You see, God had given us specific instructions on how to serve him in order to please him. And the instruction was to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He had given a clear promise anybody could understand. A promise that simply said, if you will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you shall receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. In other words, if you will do things my way, I will bless you, I will forgive you, I will fill you, I will keep you, you will never go without, you will be my people, I will be your God, and you will never worry about being slaves, you will be free. But 3 centuries after Peter stood up on the birthday of the New Testament church and preached the only Bible plan of salvation found in the entire Bible, the religious world fell away from serving God God's way and began serving him whatever they wanted to. They had been free for 300 years, had been blessed for 300 years, and they took their eyes off the one that had blessed them and focused on the things they were blessed with and began to ignore God in the pursuit of their own wants. So when they turned their back on God after 300 years and changed the baptismal formula and changed the number of gods that we serve, God turned his back on them and began to allow them to be servants to a God that only lives between the first and the last pages of a Bible. The generation of people in the religious world today come from a long line of people that have lived with their lives, their whole lives, with their backs to God and God's back to them. A people accustomed to serving a God that gives no evidence of his power. There is no power without evidence. If you want to know there's electricity in one of them outlets, take that cover off, get you a fork, wet it down, grab it with your hand, stick it in the outlet, and you will have evidence of power. Generation after generation, parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents for as long as anybody can remember had always gone to the same church, followed all the same rules, the same regulations, handed down by whatever denomination they belonged to, calling themselves God's chosen people and the children of God without ever one time having any evidence, any proof of the power of the God they called Father. After generation upon generation, never experiencing the presence and the power of the God they serve, there are entire generations, entire denominations, with millions of people in service on this Sunday that have grown accustomed to never feeling God. They've accepted the fact that they can't make real contact with God down here, that when he comes to live inside their soul, they just have to believe that, because God doesn't do it the Bible way anymore. The God they serve isn't a God they can touch. He's not a God they can see, hear, or feel. They serve a God confined to the pages of the Bible. That I'm coming this morning as a voice in the wilderness of man-made modern religion with no power. And I serve a God whose power and presence is not confined to the book. I've come to declare today that the God we served, He ain't trapped in the Bibles we carry. He's moving freely among His people, and He's doing all kinds of awesome stuff in our lives. I got to tell somebody this morning, you don't just have to read about it in a book. You don't just have to believe. If you want to experience God as a pillar of fire, Matthew 3:11 says Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you want to experience God as a cloud, you can do that too. 1 Corinthians 10:2 says when the Red Sea parted and the children of Israel followed Moses, they were baptized by him in the cloud. But you don't have to just read about it and try to believe it, because if you'll make your way to an altar today, God will baptize you in the cloud of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You want to experience the healing power of God, you can do it. There are entire groups of people meeting on this Sunday that don't even pray for healing for the sick in their congregation because they serve a God trapped in the book and they don't believe He can heal anymore, because they've been to churches for so long where it never happened. They've grown accustomed to it and accepted that God don't heal. I'm here today to tell you, God's got to heal. If He lives on the inside of me, it's easy for Him to heal the outside of me. We don't serve a God we can't give to anybody else, because we ain't got Him. We got Him, and anybody can have Him.
Amen.
We serve a God we can touch, we can see, we can hear, and we can feel.
Yes.
Amen.
Say, man, ain't nobody ever seen God. I see God all the time.
Amen.
I see Him all the time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I finally make my way up on a mountain patch, interstate that's pitch black and semis roaring by. There's a family in a minivan on the side of the road, and every time a semi goes by, that whole van shakes and rattles and rolls, and that van ain't been hit. And in the day and age we live in, where people stop at vans like that full of people and do awful things, and I get there and they're okay, and all we gotta do is pour a little gas in there, and the daughter's in the van and says, in Jesus' name, and that thing fires up. Hi! Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody gets a hold of me and tells me, hey, preacher, you ain't got the baptism. I'm going to buy it myself. And they come to my porch and get baptized on my front porch. I see Jesus.
Amen.
And I got a family that is apart, and they're separated, and they're trying to find the will of God, and it seems like it can't happen because it's been that way for years. And in one single day, God turns the whole thing around, and just a Sunday later, Nelson is sitting in the sanctuary, and the family's made whole again. I see Jesus.
Yes.
Come on, brother.
In the house. Similarities between the religious. Please understand, I'm not talking down about anybody that serves God trapped in the Bible. I sorrow for them. Once God heals you, you can't help but have heartbreak for people that don't believe He does. And they walk around in sickness and don't ask that God to heal them. And you know that if they do, He will. I'm not speaking from some arrogant position.
Right.
Amen. Similarities between the religious world and their day and ours don't stop with the condition of religion, but continues on in the way people approached it and received it. There were two types of people then, and there are two types now. Those who were content to serve a God, confined to the pages of the Bible, and those willing to pay any price to get His presence and power out.
Yes.
Even today, there's only two kinds. And they're in every congregation everywhere. Those that are happy He stays in that book, and those that will give anything they can give to get Him out.
Yes.
And into their family.
Yes.
Amen.
There are those content to serve a God who lived in the Bible, and they were not only at peace with Him there, they preferred Him to stay there. Sadly enough, most of the people that wanted him to stay in the book were regular attendees of the synagogue, church-going people, if you will. You see, as long as God stayed in the Bible, he only came to life when they wanted him to. As long as he stayed in the Bible, he stayed under their control. As long as God stayed in the Bible, he only came to life in midweek Bible study and Sunday service. He didn't mess with the rest of their week. As long as God stayed in the book, all they had to do was show up at service, have a smile on their face, go through the motions, and nobody would be the wiser as long as God stayed in the Bible. As long as God stayed in the Bible, he only came to life when the Bible was open. As long as he stayed in the Bible, he only came to life when the preacher opened the Bible on Sunday. And all they had to do when God started getting nosy and prying into the rest of their lives and demanding more from them was close the Bible and put it on the shelf. Because when God is confined to the Bible, when you shut that Bible, you shut God out of your life. But one day in the city of Nazareth, a man stood up to read about the God of the Bible, but he didn't do it like all the others before him, because this man that stood up to read about the God of the Bible was the God of the Bible. This man that stood up to read was only known to those in the synagogue that day as a homeboy named Jesus. But the book he held in his hand referred to him as Emmanuel, God with us. He was the incarnate God. And when he read from the Bible and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, I'm anointed to heal the brokenhearted, I'm anointed to preach deliverance to captives, I'm anointed to give sight to the blind, I'm anointed to free those that are bruised, I'm anointed to preach what's acceptable to God." He wasn't just giving a book report on a God that lived in the Bible, because when he finished, he sat down and said, "This day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears." Yeah. In other words, church, he was saying, "I am God, and I'm stepping out of the Bible and into your lives." Right. I'm telling somebody this morning, God don't want to stay trapped in a book. He wants to step out of that Bible and into your world. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to give you deliverance or sight back. He wants to heal the bruises life has put on you. God wants to step out of the Bible and into every area of your life.
Yes, Lord. Mm.
When Jesus told them all in church that day that God wasn't trapped in the Bible anymore, it's no wonder every eye in the place was fastened on him. They knew who that scripture was about. They read Isaiah 1,000 times before, Lori, and everybody else read about it and said, "One day in the future, he's going to be here." Jesus read about it and said, "It ain't the future. I'm here right now." Yeah. It stepped out of the Bible and into their lives. It affected everybody. It affects everybody. Yes. Hmm. See, when God stepped out of the Bible and into the church, church was never going to be the same again. Their lives would never be the... I'm telling you today, God will step out of the Bible and into that van out in that parking lot. He'll step out of the Bible and into Lily's hospital room. Yeah. He'll step out of the Bible and into Abby's marriage. Yeah. He'll step out of the Bible and right into Isaac's room. Yeah. He'll step out of the Bible, Nelson, right into your son's room in Texas.
Amen.
When God steps out of the Bible. God steps out of the book and into church. Coming to church is never the same. Hey, when God stepped out of the Bible and into our worship service last Sunday, it was never the same again. We came today expecting God to step out of the Bible into worship. Amen. And hear this. It didn't matter who was up there leading worship. We'll have people that said, "I'm only going to worship if Jimmy and Stacy are doing it." We got people that says, "I don't care if Jeremiah the Bullfrog's doing it. I want God to step out of the Bible. I need him in my life." See, when God steps out of the Bible into worship, Now all of a sudden, I'm a little more excited about worship getting started.
Amen.
Because I'm expecting God to step out of the Bible and into worship again.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm.
That's right.
Come on, brother.
Preach it.
The reason God so rarely steps out of the Bible in our day and age, frankly, is because most people, church folks and pastor included now, don't want him to. The reason God so rarely steps out of the Bible and into the life of a church is the same today as it was in the day Jesus did it. It's because when God steps out of the Bible into a church, the pastor has to step to the back, Jack. He ain't in the front no more. And that don't sit well with the pastoral ministry in 2022. The pulpit's not a comfortable place to be when God steps out of the Bible into a service. And you can tell he wants to do something, but you can't figure out what. You want to know why there's times where the worship's going on and whoever's doing the worship stops singing and they're playing lightly and you can tell they're like, hey, dude, all right, hey, dude. And everybody looks over and I'm just off in my own little world. It's because I can tell God is wanting to say something or do something for somebody here. And I ain't in no hurry to pass that up. Because if God can do something for you in worship, I don't have to open the Bible. I open the Bible so you'll get to a place where God can step out of it and do something for you. So if God steps out of it when we start and does it, I got an easy day. Let's go to lunch.
Bless him.
Today's modern church world, though, and the preacher's in the pulpit and God's in the church, and you can't figure out yet what he's wanting to do, and everybody's looking at you all crazy because they got a roast in the oven, or they got a cookout they got to be at 1:50. Let me just tell you, we got this room from 11 to 2. And as hard as it might be for you to believe, there's going to come a day where you're going to be mad because it's only till 2 o'clock.
Yes.
Because when the glory moves in that thick, you don't want to get out of it.
That's it.
It's not comfortable to be the pastor when God steps out of the Bible and begins to give you big dreams and visions that sound impossible. And when you speak them, people are looking at you like, I think the hamster and the wheel don't even live in the same room. It's not comfortable as a pastor when God steps out of the Bible and you start chasing after him, wanting more of him, and you fall on your face in pursuit of him. Listen to me. There are more ways you will see me on my face than just in worship and in service. You will see me fall flat on my face sooner or later and more than once. And the reason you will is because when God is right there, but he's just out of arm's reach, I have a desire to reach out after him. Because I know if I can get just the hem of that garment, it won't be just me that's better for it. It'll be every single one of you. So there's going to be times I'm going to do worse than that little lady with the issue of blood, because I'm going to reach out for it with and land flat on my face. You know what? All right.
Yeah.
It'll fix some stuff when I land. I don't know. I don't care.
Amen, brother.
Jimmy last week, Nathan today. All right. I stand today and say it's not easy being pastor when God steps out of the Bible and into a congregation. But I want to tell every single one of you today, when all of us first met, you had God in your lives, yes. But I have watched God jump out of that Bible and into your lives.
Yes.
And I've watched him do miracles in every person's life that's here today.
Amen.
I've got to tell you, it's the only way I'm going to pastor. I'll take the last seat on the bus, let God out of the Bible. I'll take the blame for every burnt roast every miscookout and family reunion, just let God step out of the Bible. I speak words of faith and vision that cause people to question my sanity even more. Just let God out of the Bible. And until the day I die, I'm going to chase after Him. I'm going to want more of Him. And I don't care how many times I fall on my face, if nobody's there to help me up and dust me off, if I look behind me and nobody's there, my soul will still thirst for the living God, because I know if I can get more of Him in my prayer life, I can pray more things into your life. I know if I can get more of Him into these services, He'll do more things in your life. At all costs, we have to get God out of this book and into this church.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, brother.
I know it's not easy to go to a church where God ain't trapped in the Bible. I know ain't none of y'all got it easy. If you think you got it hard, pray extra for Kitty. When God steps out of the Bible, He gets to dipping in part of our lives. We don't want Him in, hear me. God gets to following us around and going to places with us we do not want Him to go. He gets to picking our friends. God gets to reaching into our pockets, asking for a dime on a dollar and calling it a tithe, acting as if He's got something to do with us being able to earn money in the first place. Mm. God steps out of the Bible into the church. This pastor starts to lose his mind and takes on the mind of Christ. He starts asking people to fast on certain days and for certain services. When God steps out of the Bible and into the church, the pastor will start preaching things that hit so close to home, you can't tell if He loves you or if He's trying to make you mad. And sometimes it seems like the only one marching to the beat of the drum that he's hearing is him. And you start wondering, is anybody else even been hearing the beat of the drum that the man of God's trying to march to? Some folks get uncomfortable and start looking for another church with a pastor who has enough sense to leave God in the Bible where He belongs and leave everybody alone. Hear me today. There will never be a day. I love you too much. I care too much. There will never be a day where I will not speak what I feel in God's Spirit wants to be spoken, because I'm worried you won't be my friend anymore. Yeah. I want you to be my friend. I want you to love me and Kitty for the rest of your lives. And I want to be in your life for the rest of your life. But more importantly than that, I want you to make it there. Yeah. And if that means I lose your friendship down here, but you make your way back to where you need to be, there'll be a day where we'll be friends again. Yeah. There'll be a day where you'll love me, because we will. Will make it where we all want to go.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Most people don't understand, if God stays in the Bible, so does His power.
Right.
His presence. Let me tell you what else happens when God steps out of the Bible. I'm getting there. Oh yeah, I'm getting real good. Jesus said that day, I've stepped out of the Bible to heal the brokenhearted. There's a little widow woman. That's right, I'm in Tennessee. I go into other places and say in Tennessee words. They can't figure out if I'm a Yankee or a Yankabilly. There was a little widow woman. Isn't that no widow? She's a widow. There's a little widow woman in Luke 7 walking out of the gates of the city of Nain in a funeral procession. The funeral was over and they were heading to the cemetery to bury her only son. She'd already lost her husband, and the Bible says she had a crowd of folks sharing in her grief. Anybody ever notice you'll have more people willing to help you grieve than you will that'll celebrate something good in your life?
That's true, man.
The only God she had ever known was a God who lived in the Bible, and He couldn't do her any good there. The while they were making their way out of that city to bury their only son, God stepped out of the Bible, looked at the widow woman, and Jesus said, "Weep not." He looked at the young man, said, "I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I'm talking to mom and dads right now and grandparents. I'm telling you, your boy and your girl might be spiritually dead today, but if we'll do whatever we gotta do to get God out of that Bible and into their lives, He'll speak to them and say unto them, arise! Amen. I'm talking about when God steps out of the Bible.
Yes.
Jesus said, "I stepped out of the Bible to preach deliverance to the captives." Mark 5, there was a man named Legion who lived among the tombs. Man couldn't do anything with him. Locking him up didn't do any good. He spent his nights crying and cutting himself. You wonder where the cutting comes from in society today? It comes from the same kind of demon that was tormenting this man. He was given up for lost, but all that knew him, they called him hopeless. The only God he had ever heard about was a God that lived in the Bible, and that kind of a God could not help him. But one day while this man was in the graveyard, Jesus stepped out of a boat and into his world. God stepped out of the Bible and into his life. And the next time his old friends found him, he was clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. First year I was in church, I brought 56 friends to get baptized. And it wasn't because I knew any Bible. It was because the last time they saw me, I was wild and crazy. Jail couldn't do nothing with me. Man couldn't tame me. And I was hopeless. And all they knew was now I was in my right mind and I was happy and none of those things I had in my life are there anymore. And they said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "I got baptized in Jesus' name and I got the Holy Ghost." They said, "The Holy what?" I said, "Come on, I know a place where you won't have to ask the Holy what." And I brought them to church and they got baptized. And that's what happens when God steps out of the Bible.
Amen.
Last page. That don't make anybody know me feel any better, I know.
Come on, brother.
Jesus said, "I stepped out of the Bible to bring recovering of the sight to the blind." Mark 10, they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with Jesus' disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway begging. He was begging for money. But when he heard it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't say, "Jesus, make me see." He said, "Jesus, mercy." I wonder what would happen to our prayers if we quit getting so specific, and when we ran out of words, when we're praying for our children and grandchildren, is if all we said, "Lord, Mark, mercy. Lord, Helen, mercy. Lord, Abby, Knox, mercy. Mercy, Lord." Many people around him told him to shut up. But he cried even more, "Son of David, not heal my eyes, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. We're always so worried about getting Jesus to move. I think I'm going to start concentrating on getting him to stand still. Lord, show up in my son's bed and stand still. Lord, show up in my grandbaby's home with his new stepdaddy and stand still. Lord, show up into my house and stand right here.
Amen.
Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Little side note, that's the only time anyone ever, besides Jesus, called somebody. Some of y'all get that later. They called the blind man, saying, "Be of good comfort, he calls you." That's King James for shut up, dude. He said go over there. And he, casting away his garment, what? Casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The garment that he wore was a beggar's garment. Mm-hmm. The garment that he wore, it marked him as a blind beggar. He never asked Jesus to make him so he wasn't blind. All he knew is if Jesus called me from where I am to where he is, Nelson, I ain't gonna be no beggar no more. All I know is if Jesus is calling me from where I'm at to where he is, something tells me I ain't gonna see just darkness anymore. Many of them that day told Barnabas, Bartimaeus, shut up. Bartimaeus got louder. Can't help myself. When the children say, shut up, first of all, I'll give them a look. Mm. Tell them you don't ever say that again because you won't get the whole sentence out of your mouth before something happens to you. Mm. Oops. And then after you do that, speak louder. And keep speaking life.
Yes.
And keep speaking the words you know will get Jesus out of the Bible and into their lives. We ask you to stand with me. Nathan, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm not normally, it's not normally my practice to do this. But I know you're a man who's instant in season and out. Besides that, I owe you one. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to ask you to grab that guitar. Start playing it softly, if you would, young man. Don't sing yet. Jesus said, I stepped out of the Bible to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's an interesting combination of words. To me, it would have seemed like he would have said to set at liberty them that are locked up. He said, set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, our bruises can imprison us. I think this is fair. I know every single one of you have been bruised by a pastor. You know why I know? Because, well, you're older than one day old. But you haven't allowed that to make you prisoner to me. And you could, and I wouldn't blame you. There's somebody I tease all the time, because I know you can take it. But I tease you and you'll say something to me, and I say, oh, heal a little bit. Then you just laugh, like whatever. Well, on the other side of the coin, me and Kitty have been bruised by preachers. And we have been bruised by angels. Sorry. Not saints. See, what a saint does when they mess up, same thing a man of God does when they mess up, is they come back and say, man, that's my bad. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm working on that. I'll fix that. I will. Preacher and saint alike. But there are preachers that ain't. And there are saints that ain't. because we're still on this imperfect world. So all of us have been hurt by preachers that ain't and saints that ain't. But we've made up our mind. It's took all of us. Every one of us here, at some point when this started, some a little sooner, some a little slower, don't matter what the pace was, the process was the same. But every one of us went through a process where we had to make a decision. I'm going to put myself out there like I'm supposed to. We had to decide not to be captive to our bruises.
All right.
And man, I'm glad we did. Last Sunday and this Sunday wouldn't have happened if we hadn't. Because if we stay captive to our bruises, God stays locked up in the book. Because when God's out of the book, we don't stay captive. The last thing Jesus said, I am anointed to preach the acceptable. Whatever's the acceptable talking point of the Republican Party. Whatever's the acceptable talking points of the Democratic National Convention. No. Jesus said, I'm anointed. I stepped out of the book to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You say, what does that mean to me? That means, no matter how unpopular it is, if they ask us, we can't filter our answer through what we think will be acceptable to them. We have to filter our answer through what will be acceptable to Him. Now, that also means the spirit we give the answer in, because we can give the right answer in the wrong spirit, and that ain't acceptable to Him. They've already had that around here, I guarantee. God has stepped out of the Bible into our worship services. Oh, I'm so happy. Because our worship leaders have worked hard for that to happen. They fast meals for it to happen. They give up meals for this to happen. Why, every one of them. They pray for this to happen, intercede, ask God, petition God for it to happen, and they kept up service after service. Sometimes when the only voice they could hear was, I know how hard that is. They haven't complained to me. I'm just telling you what I know because I've been in that position. But they kept at it until last Sunday. God said, all right then. And then we came back this Sunday and said, I want a little more of that. Amen. And God said, I did. So I just wonder today, whatever area of your life, whether it's your children, grandchildren, whatever area, home, career, whatever area it is, that you want God to step out of the Bible and into. I wonder today if you will invite Him to do exactly that. But you need to be prepared for Him to do it. And He might not do it in the rosy puppy dog, butterfly, sunflower way we would like Him to. Because sometimes when He steps out of the Bible and into life, sometimes it causes great discomfort. But in the end, it will be worth it. So today, I'm going to invite you. If you have an area you want God to step out of the Bible and into your life in, I'm going to ask you to come up here and just tell them about it. Come on up and ask Him to. And then tell them, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to do whatever is acceptable to you for it to happen. God, step out of the Bible in the middle of that room. Go ahead, Mother. Come on.
Your holy presence.
Come on, Father. Keep mine together right now, Lord. And we ask you to step out of that book right into Lily's life. We ask the God of her Father to make himself known to her, Father. Our sons and our daughters will be free. So we ask you right now, Father, to step out of that Bible and into Lily's life, God. Fill that hospital room with your presence, Lord. That little girl that somehow has been convinced by the devil that her life is not worth living, Lord. Let her feel what real life feels like right now, God. Sweep into that room, Lord, and let her feel your presence, Father. And Lord, remind our son of the God of his youth, Lord. Glory, Lord.
Thank you.
cause confusion, cause stop.
Yes, Jesus.